Hello and welcome everyone to a mystical journey to the Sacred Sites Global Summit, where we will journey to beautiful sacred sites with healers, shamans, scientists, doctors, wisdom keepers, and coaches to gain wisdom and healing to self, the collective, and our divine Mother Earth. During the course of this event, you will learn that a sacred site is not only an external place or structure, but also our own body. You may have heard of the term, your body is a temple. Therefore, we will also journey inwards to access our internal sacred sites, for example, our sacred heart. You will hear experts talk about their own healing journeys and the work they're doing to raise awareness and consciousness of individuals, the collective, as well as raising the vibrations of our great spiritual mother, Gaia, to create more joy, peace, and abundance for all sentient beings on our beautiful and divine planet, our home. I'm your host and the creator of this event, Ami Sohi, and before we begin, I would like to take this opportunity to thank Jocelyn Starfeather for her tremendous mentorship and guidance during the creation of this summit, without whom I would not be able to present today. I'm also very grateful to all my family and friends for their unconditional love and support throughout my journey. And last but not least, I'm very grateful to all of you for taking the time and having the courage to be here today. So thank you. Without further ado, I'm very excited and thrilled to present my mentor and coach, Jocelyn Starfeather. Jocelyn is a visibility and thought leadership coach for visionary entrepreneurs, spiritual alchemists, sacred site tour facilitator, astrologer, and founder of Sacred Planet. She shares shamanic and ancient wisdom to guide courageous seekers in co-creating a revolutionary new world in alignment with Mother Earth and the vast intelligence of the cosmos. After a successful 15-year corporate career working in finance for major multinational companies, Jocelyn was thrust into a deep spiritual awakening. It was that awakening which turned her life upside down and from which she emerged with a powerful understanding of how to use her intuition and healing abilities, aspects of herself that she'd never had access to before. She dove deeply into earth-based and shamanic practices, and she has studied alongside elders and wisdom keepers ever since. She has extensively studied ancient civilizations, especially cultures where the goddess held a strong presence, and she has spent profound and life-changing time in the ancient temple and pyramids of Egypt, where she now leads annual spiritual tours. Jocelyn has studied astrology since 2015 and has developed her own unique craft of astrological readings called alchemical astrology. She blends alchemy, astrology, hermetism, ancient and indigenous wisdom, and a magical shamanic perspective to coach and guide visionary entrepreneurs, revolutionaries, and change makers all around the world. Her mission is to help people break free from everything that has held them back so they can joyfully offer their highest contribution to our collective future. You can learn more about Jocelyn's work on her wearesacredplanet.com website and her Sacred Planet YouTube channel. Welcome, Jocelyn. It's a great honor and pleasure to have you here with us today.
Thank you so much, Ami, for the beautiful introduction, and thank you for creating this amazing event. I just love what you're bringing together here. The topics, the speakers are so powerful. So thank you for all you're doing to create this.
Yeah, it's a great honor for me as well to be part of this beautiful journey. So Jocelyn, your topic for today is the art and architecture of ancient Egypt, pathways and portals of our highest consciousness. So I'd like to kick off the conversation with a question. Why is the art and architecture of ancient Egypt so powerful for us to experience?
Yes, I love that question, and that is such an exciting place to begin. So the art and architecture of ancient Egypt is based on extremely ancient knowledge. It's really important to keep in mind when we're speaking about ancient Egypt that the newest discoveries and the newest research is showing that the pyramids, the Sphinx, certain structures like the Osirian and Abydos are far more ancient than what is written in our history books. And especially with discoveries like Göbekli Tepe in Turkey, which is now proven to be approximately 12,000 years old and is just a magnificent astronomical structure, it's showing that humans much further back than we have, you know, traditionally believed, were capable of building really advanced stone structures. And so this really brings us into a whole new realm of considering perhaps Stonehenge is far more ancient than we thought. Perhaps the pyramids and the Sphinx, perhaps the temples in India, all of these may be far more ancient than we thought. Part of the issue with dating these is that carbon dating can only be used to date organic material, and stone is not organic material. So the archaeologists, when they come in, they date it, carbon date things based on different, you know, possibly mummies or decomposed humans or animals or plants that are around, even trash or like leftover food that was around the site. But we've got to keep in mind that just because there were organic remains around the pyramids dating to 2500 BC, that doesn't mean that was when the pyramids were built, right? That just may have been one of the times that somebody was there at the pyramids or things, activities were happening at the pyramids. The pyramids, more evidence is showing, and the Sphinx were much more likely constructed possibly 5,000 BC, possibly 8,000 BC, or even older. So this is one thing to keep in mind that makes the explorations of ancient Egypt really powerful. One more just scientific note on that is that the Sphinx, which was traditionally said to have been constructed around the same time as the pyramids, around 2500 BC is what's written in the history books, has very extreme erosion on it, on the Sphinx itself and on the walls, the retaining walls around it. And so different geologists now have come in, particularly Robert Schock being one of them, have come in and examined this. And what is really, really clear in all of the scientific evidence at this point is that that is extreme water erosion that happened around the Sphinx. Now, the Sphinx is sitting on the Giza Plateau in the Sahara Desert, which has not had any significant water flow or flooding or rainfall since 8,000 BC. So this points very, very, strongly to the fact that the Sphinx was built before 8,000 BC. What's interesting is that astronomically, if it was built around 10,500 BC, that would have been when the constellation Leo was aligned with the sunrise on the spring equinox at that exact latitude. And so that makes a lot of sense that they would have built the Sphinx, this lion figure, facing the constellation of Leo as it was rising with the sun. So 10,500 BC becomes actually a very possible date for the Sphinx. So as we're walking through the temples of Egypt and standing in the pyramids and standing by the Sphinx, we need to keep in mind that we are being infused with energies from very, very extremely ancient times. Now, another thing that's really special about the temples and pyramids of Egypt is that the people at that time had a very, very advanced understanding of the energetics of the stars and the cosmos above, and how that is meant to meet up with the energetics of the earth and the ley lines and the underground water currents below the earth. And so they specifically aligned their temples, and we can see written on the walls the fact that they did this, and they would call in this particular goddess. Her name is Sechet. The pharaoh would call upon her, and she would come in and assist the humans in making sure that each temple was aligned to the correct stars and constellations to bring in the energy from the great above that they wanted in the temple. And also specifically aligned with particular ley lines and underground waterways to bring in the energy from the great below that they wanted to have in the temple. And so these temples were a meeting point of the great above and the great below in a very very specific configuration to create a particular energetic frequency within the temple. So when we walk through the temples, and even when we look at pictures of them, as we will today, we're receiving that highly refined energetic frequency. And this is what made it possible for the Egyptians to carry out these beautiful rituals and ceremonies where they could actually perform magic. It was part of this divine alignment that they had created between the cosmos and the earth. So it's just really incredible what they were able to do. And I think, you know, we've all heard that in modern day terms, as far as our modern science and architecture and everything that we know about the laws of physics, we do not understand how they constructed the pyramids. You know, we do not understand how they took these very, very heavy granite blocks, some of them up to 200 tons, from 80 miles down the Nile River, because we know where they were quarried from, in Silsila, somehow brought them on boats, but these would have sunk any boat that existed at the time, right, up the Nile to the Giza Plateau, and constructed the pyramids, which are composed of over 2 million of these kinds of stones. How did they do this, right? Clearly, they were working with technologies that we no longer have access to. So it's really fascinating to explore and study the art and architecture of Egypt. And that's really what I've told you there is just the tip of the iceberg, but it's enough to get us started.
Wow, that is, yeah, absolutely amazing. Yeah, as you mentioned, you know, it's just astounding, like, you know, what technology were they using in those days? Oh my goodness. Yeah. And it's, as you mentioned, you know, it's older than it's written in the history of the pyramids, the Sphinx. Yeah, much, much older than what we've been told, you know, in our history lessons. Yeah. Exactly. Very, yeah, gosh, great, great, powerful share there. So do you have any sort of images and examples that you can share with us today?
Yeah, I would love to. I would love to share some images, and I'll put this up on the screen here so everybody can see. One second. I have some images from Dendera Temple. And this is the temple that is dedicated to the goddess Hathor. And the goddess Hathor is the cow goddess, and she is one of the most ancient goddesses that we see in the Egyptian mythology. She is shown as this beautiful cow with, you know, with a human form, but the head of a cow and these beautiful ears and her eyes. All of it is just depicted so beautifully in the art. And so this is the temple to her. And she was the goddess of love and beauty and dancing and enjoyment and pleasure, all these wonderful things. Actually very similar to the archetype of the planet Venus, if anyone listening, you know, if you're familiar with that archetype, very similar to the goddess Hathor. So this is what it looks like as you're walking up to the temple, and the temple is back there kind of in the background, but there's this beautiful stone, you know, pillars and this doorway to walk through. And you can see the two people standing here. You can see how massive these pillars are. It's just incredible, the size of everything in Egypt. And as you walk under those pillars, if you look up, you will see the image of a scarab beetle, but from the underneath. And it's really fascinating. There's no very few places in Egypt that you would see the scarab from underneath. Usually we're seeing the top of the scarab. And so this is revealing that the hidden secrets and mysteries of the universe are held here in this temple. We're seeing the inner workings. And so here's an image of the temple itself. And you can see there are, and this continues on the inside in the hypostyle hall, there are these pillars that have the goddess Hathor facing in the four directions around each pillar. And here's another view walking up. And again, you can just see the size of it with, you know, these are all people standing here out in the front. Truly, truly an incredible structure. And once you go inside, the whole first hall, which is called a hypostyle hall, which is these halls with these giant pillars that they built in Egypt in the temples. It's filled with these beautiful pillars that, again, all have the Hathor faces in the four directions. and just beautiful images on every pillar and on every wall and on the ceiling. I mean, every square inch of this temple is encoded with the wisdom of the ancient people. Now, something else that's really amazing to know, we do know when this temple was built. This temple was built much more recently. It was around 100, I'm trying to remember, it was either 100 AD or 100 BC. Sorry, I don't have that in mind exactly, but it was very recent that this temple was built. However, the thing to keep in mind too about Egyptian temples is that they would tear down their temples every 2,000 years or so and build a new one on top of the old one, because they knew about the precession of the equinoxes, where the stars shift to a new zodiac sign every 2,100 years or so. And so on those cycles, they would tear down their old temples and rebuild a new one on top of it. So this temple was built on top of an older one that was probably 2,000 years older than that, which was built on top of an older one, which is probably 2,000 years older than that, and so on. We don't know exactly how far down it goes. It's hard to research that, because if you start digging under the temples, then it compromises the structure of the existing one, right? So they haven't done a lot of digging below, because they want to maintain intact the existing ones. But in any case, whenever they would build a new temple, they would carry forward the wisdom and the writings and the hieroglyphs from the older one. So what you see in this temple is carried forward from many, many earlier ones at earlier times of profound understanding of the universe. So on the next slide here, you can also see some of the doorways. These temples are just full of portals. You just feel like you're constantly walking through portals. And as you're walking through it, you really feel a shift in energy when you step inside of these incredible temples, because remember that they're aligned with the cosmos, they're aligned with the earth, they're designed to bring together this harmonic frequency within the temple. And as you walk through, you're receiving that. Here is one beautiful part of the ceiling in Dendera. And this shows Thoth, who is the god of sacred architecture, mathematics, sacred geometry, alchemy, astrology, astronomy, all the sciences. But he's also the god of the moon, very interestingly. He's the god of the moon. And so this is showing the full moon with the eye of Horus inside of it. Now, there are two symbols that you'll see in Egypt that have this big eye symbol. The eye of Horus represents the feminine and the moon and the lunar cycle. The eye of Ra represents the masculine and the sun and the solar cycle. So we have the eye of Horus here inside of the full moon, which is shown as a looking glass. You can see this below here. And then these are the 14 different, representing the 14 days of the waxing moon, okay, from the new moon to the full moon. There are 14 different figures here, gods and goddesses, and they're representing the 14 days from the new moon at the beginning of the cycle to reach this full moon stage. Isn't that just so beautiful?
Wow, that is, yeah, fantastic. Yeah, amazing. How everything, yeah, was aligned, you know, with like you said, with the cosmos, everything in alignment. Yeah, wow, beautiful.
So it's depicted again and again all around. This is another beautiful image, and I won't go into the meaning of all of these. What I invite everyone to do as you're seeing these images is to really take this in on a heart level. So many of the concepts of what we see written about in the hieroglyphic images in Egypt, they go so far beyond what our mind can comprehend. And so we really want to just receive these and take them in on a heart level, rather than trying to, you know, understand all the details of it. But you can just see the beauty of their imagery. One thing that's really fascinating about these two is you can see that the images and the hieroglyphs are raised. Okay, they're raised. So in carving these, they were actually carving out the negative space, which is much harder to do than just like etching something into a stone surface. They were carving away the negative space and leaving these perfect images and the hieroglyphs. It's just incredible, the level of artistry. Here's another image. This has a lot of serpents and serpentine imagery. So you can see here, these serpents kind of forming a cross right here. This beautiful serpent, here's another one. Okay, and these are just so beautiful. Here we have Thoth on a bark or a boat with the new or the full moon again here. You see a lot of imagery in Dendera that's upside down. So see this goddess over here on the left, she's completely upside down. And this is representing that our perception of reality is not always what it seems to be. We might think something is real. And even the way that our eyes process information actually shows us everything upside down from what it really is. Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. So they reflect that in the imagery. And here's another serpent imagery. These are the winged serpents that you will see very frequently in Dendera and Edfu and other places. And this is Isis and Nephthys, the two sister goddesses. Isis being the queen, the wife of Osiris, the mother goddess, and the one who holds the magic and the words of power. And then Nephthys represents the shadows and what is hidden. And whenever their wings are up like this, it means life is flowing. The currents of life are flowing. We also see them sometimes side by side in the tombs or on either side of a tomb with their wings down. And that means life has stopped. It's shown in the tomb. I have just a few more slides here. Now, this is really beautiful. This is the goddess Nut. And you'll see the goddess Nut in many different forms and many different ways in Egypt, but she's always wrapping around the sky. And so her arms come down, her body is across the top horizontally, and then you'll see her legs coming down on the other side. Now she is the Milky Way. She is the arc of the heavens. And it was said that she would eat the sun. This ball here is the sun. She would eat the sun every night at sunset. And the sun would travel through her body, and the lights, the stars that we see in the sky, were these tiny holes in her body. And as the sun was traveling through, it would light up, and those lights would shine down as what we see as the stars. This is part of the Egyptian mythology. And then she would birth the sun anew every morning, which is what's happening over here on this side. And this is Hathor. She's birthing the life force. Once again, Hathor representing the life force itself. So this temple is very much about birthing and the life force, and Nut so beautifully represents that in the daily cycle of the sun. Mm. And Nut is based on the actual configuration of the Milky Way in the sky. This is how the Milky Way arches across the sky with, you can see the relevant constellations here. And at the point of the Northern Cross, which is the constellation of the Swan Cygnus, that is the point through which the sun is birthed once again. And there's a lot of mythology. We see some of the stones in Göbekli Tepe in Turkey are pointing directly towards Cygnus. Those northern stars, Cygnus, and also the Big Dipper, were very central to the mythology of the ancient people because they saw it as the place from which all things were birthed, from which all things originated. Just a few more beautiful images here. Again, just take these in with your heart. We see these stargates in Dendera, really amazing. And then there are these crypts that you can go in below the main temple, and the imagery in there is even more. Well, I don't know if I can say even more incredible, but it's truly incredible as well. Just see the level of detail here. This represents, so this serpent rising from the lotus flower on the bark or boat, the lotus flower boat, It represents the origin of creation at the beginning of time. Now, in Dendera, the beginning of time is referred to as the time when the primordial mound, or the land, once again rose out of the floodwaters. So this is referring back to the flood, the great flood, which we find written about in the Bible and in the ancient Sumerian texts, and in many different, also in the Americas, we see evidence written of the flood. In pretty much every ancient culture, they tell of this ancient flood that happened about 12,500 years ago. And so this was life springing forth once again after the floodwaters began to recede. And in Egypt, they call this Zeptepi, the beginning times. So I'll leave it at that for now with the imagery. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that gives you a good sample of all the magic that's there in Dendera Temple.
Yeah, beautiful. And yeah, very deep and magical, as you said. Yeah, and so much, they had so much wisdom and knowledge about life, just the life flow of life, you know, life itself. Yeah, beautiful. So I saw a lot of serpents, yeah, in the hieroglyphics. So what are the core themes that we see in the hieroglyphic art?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. So the serpents are really important because it represents the life force. The serpent represents the kundalini life force that, you know, that flows through our chakras that gives us life. And the Egyptians worked with this in their rituals and were very aware of this. And they even had a ritual, they had, or a ceremony, I should say. They practiced the resurrection ceremonies. Now, this is extremely powerful because this was actually a ceremony where, whether it was through entheogenic substances or just through an extremely high level of consciousness, we don't know exactly. Some of these most secretly, you know, like, you know, secretly kept mysteries are not written down. They were only passed down by word of mouth between the priests and priestesses. But we do see evidence of these resurrection ceremonies. And it was performed by the pharaoh in some cases, and also by the high priest or the high priestesses. Very, very few people knew how to do this, but they would actually leave the body, you know, the energetic force of the human, the soul, would leave the body and would go out and travel to the immortal stars in the north, which is what I was just mentioning, where this constellation Cygnus the Swan is and the Big Dipper. They would travel out to these stars and commune with the gods and meet with the divine there. And then they had left the body, and then they would come back into the body and wake up again and go, you know, go about their business. But now with the knowledge and the information that they had gotten from the deities that they could bring back to the community. Now we can look at that and say, it was just, you know, a medicine journey, or it was just, you know, a shamanic journey that they did. But if you read the pyramid texts, or if you read the Book of Gates or the Book of Coming Forth by Light, they had such detailed descriptions for how to travel out of the body, how to travel through the various initiations that you would need to go through on the way, you know, how to reach those stars to the north and how to come back. And there are certain structures such as the Great Pyramid, such as the Pyramid of Unas in Saqqara, which have a tomb, a sarcophagus structure where no body has ever been found. So these were not tombs. These were these resurrection chambers. So the ancient Egyptians knew how to work with the life force in such a profound manner that they understood the intricacies of life and death and how to travel between the two. So it's really incredible. And if you look, especially in the tombs and in the sarcophagus covers, you know, the lids, when the people were buried in the sarcophagus, they were wrapped in life force. They were wrapped in images of eggs, serpents, vultures, the gods and goddesses, all of these representing the life force, because the ancient Egyptians knew that when you die, it's not the end. It's a door to a new beginning, and that they would be waking up on the other side with a new, you know, life force, or in a new life. So this is a lot of the themes and the imagery that we see is about life force and how to work with that. And these are some of the ancient mysteries that I think are so important for us to be working to recover now, you know, so that we can come back into a true knowledge of the sacredness of life and the mystery of death and the fact that death is never an ending, you know, it's always a new beginning. So these are some of the mysteries, you know, and some of what we see written. Also in Dendera Temple in particular, they're speaking about the writing on the walls is speaking quite literally about the 26,000 year precessional cycles. And so this is an astronomical cycle that we know exists. And it's incredible that the ancient people knew it exists because each, you know, the stars move by 1 degree of the zodiac every 72 years. And they move by a full zodiac sign every 2,160 years. So because even just that tiniest fraction of a movement is basically a human lifetime, 72 years, they had to be tracking this over many, many, many multiple lifetimes very accurately. And we see that all of the ancient cultures did this in the Americas, in Asia, in Africa, in Europe. They all knew of these 26,000 year precessional cycles. And that's a lot of what is written on the ceilings of Dendera is about these precessional cycles and specifically pointing to now, this time that we're living in, 2012, and then the subsequent years after that, as a time when we're coming to the ending of one 26,000 year cycle and the beginning of the next 26,000 year cycle. And that is echoed by the Mayan calendar, the yugas in the yogic traditions and many different great count or long year calendars all around the world that we're coming back to this beginning time right now. And that's why it feels so crazy and unstable in our world right now, because we're truly shifting from one 26,000 year age to the next one. And that is written in Dendera as well. So
wow.
Very powerful.
Very powerful. Wow. Great insights there. Yeah, so as you said, yeah, we're moving now again into a new cycle, right? A rebirth. And that's why, I just feel that so many people are now called to these sacred sites and to learn, to get the wisdom and the deep, powerful meanings of what the ancients knew, you know, the ancient Egyptians knew at the time. Wow, beautiful. So in your opinion, why is it all important, you know, for us today?
Well, that's why, really. That it's because the Egyptians were just one of many ancient cultures who knew and who wrote down in their texts and in their temples that this time we're living in right now, 2012, and then the 30 to 40 years after that, is a time when we're coming back to Zeptepi in the Egyptian terminology. We're coming back to the beginning times once again. And so this is known to be a time when great changes will happen. And this is known to be a time when, you know, humanity has to adjust because all of the forces of nature are coalescing and are, you know, guiding us and supporting us in remembering who we actually are. And so this is why I feel it's so important to learn from these ancient cultures. And really, you know, everybody listening, trust the culture that you are most drawn to. Some of you might be drawn to Egypt. Some of you might be drawn to Stonehenge and Glastonbury in the UK. Some of you might be drawn to Asia and India, right? So really trust, you know, what your heart says, like, this is what we are going to follow. But for me, certainly Egypt has been a really key part of that journey. And when we look at any of these ancient cultures, and I'll speak now in terms of Egypt, we see that in the far ancient times, the earliest times, if we're looking at 10,000 BC or 8,000 BC, the level of refinement of what they were building was actually much higher than if we look at, let's say, 1 or 2,000 BC. There was some kind of a devolution of consciousness that happened from those far ancient times, like right after the flood. They were somehow carrying forward knowledge and technology from previous high civilizations that then was lost over the many, many thousands of years, bringing us to where we are now. And so what is written and what we are now opening into is a reclaiming of that knowledge that we had in the far distant ancient times. And this is what we feel happening in the world as so many people are having a spiritual awakening. So many people are realizing that this modern world and all the rules and restrictions that are handed to us and all the limitations placed on us in the modern world that we're taught in school and are passed down to us from our parents through no fault of their own, you know, are illusions. We are actually not limited. We are actually not so stuck as we have been told that we are. We are very powerful beings. We are much more free to choose who we are going to become and the world that we're going to build going forward from this time. And this is why the resurgence is happening with energy healing, all different kinds of energy healing modalities coming back into our awareness. Many, many advances, such as just even in the sciences, the study of quantum physics and this much deeper understanding of how the universe works and who and what we really are, right? All of this is coming forth at this time. We're really coming out of a huge dark age where we had forgotten all of this. Also the remembrance of magic and ritual and ceremony coming back in, you know, the resurgence of working with entheogenic plants coming back in. All of this is part of us remembering who we really are. So this is the call from Egypt, as well as from so many of the ancient cultures, is to remember that deep wisdom and power and magic that we hold within, to not let it be forgotten, to bring it back. And we can read, you know, the beautiful hieroglyphic text, and we can look at the art in Egypt to remind us of that and to help us really understand who we truly are.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful, yeah, words. And I know you take people on tours, annual tours to Egypt. So can you share some stories, like what actually happens, you know, when people walk through these amazing temples and stand, you know, in the pyramids?
Yeah, I have chills just as you're asking the question. It's a beautiful question. Yes, there's just absolute magic that happens. You know, if you can imagine, as we stand in these structures that are so divinely aligned between the great above and the great below, as I explained earlier, you're receiving the energy from those stars and constellations above. You're receiving the energy from these vortexes of swirling waters and ley lines from below. There are some places where you stand in the temples in Egypt and it actually starts moving you in a spiral like this, because the energy is so strong. And so people are very healed as they walk through the temples. But I have a funny personal story about that. I was in March 2023, I spent most of the month of March in Egypt, and I led a tour along with Patricia Oyan, who I think is also speaking on your event. She's my wonderful guide and teacher in Egypt. And so I, you know, spent the whole month there. And then as I was coming back, I had an acupuncture appointment scheduled for the next day after I flew back from Egypt. And when my acupuncturist took my pulses, she said, "Oh my gosh, what have you been doing? You're supercharged." And I was like, "Well, I've just been walking through Egypt, you know." So it's real. The healing that we get in Egypt is real and very powerful. And I mean, just the, as people are going through, and if you stand, if you just stop and stand with your back against this very ancient stone wall and just close your eyes, I mean, the downloads and the information and the energetics that come through are really incredible. On the tours that Patricia and I do together, we have chosen these really special places, like in the Osirian that's next to Abydos Temple, or standing between the paws of the Sphinx, where I guide shamanic journeys and help people really go deeply into those transmissions that might be coming through for them at that time. It's just like you're walking through stargates and star portals constantly. And it's quite a transition to come back, actually, because it's like, how do you go through from walking through stargates every day to just like being in your living room. It's kind of, it's like, what, where am I? What happened? It's very powerful. It really does change you. And one last thing I'll say about this is that I've seen it in my own life, and I've seen it again and again with people who go there. When you go to Egypt, or when you closely study Egypt, you know, even if you're not going there, but you're really devoting yourself to the study of it and immersing in the knowledge, and especially when you go there, Egypt really connects in with your heart and looks to see, you know, what is it that you truly most deeply desire that maybe you don't even fully realize that you need or want this. And then once you return home, it will start to move mountains in your life. And I believe the Neteru, the gods and goddesses of Egypt, are creating this, are doing this for us. But it will start to move mountains in your life so that you can have that which you most deeply long for. So it's very powerful, the shifts and transformation that happen when we go and walk through those star portals and open ourselves up to this very ancient, very strong and magical energy.
Wow, beautiful. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of healing. Yeah, as you mentioned, people experience, yeah, healing, and wow, just amazing, amazing stories there. Wow, beautiful. And I know you talk about Nitarus, and is there any, you've studied Egypt for many years. So is there any Neteru deity that's yours, sort of really connected with?
Well, there are several. Yeah, there are several. I think I am very strongly guarded by Isis and Sekhmet, for sure. And it was Thoth that originally led me to Egypt. So he came in years before I ever went to Egypt, and I can see now he was just orchestrating the whole thing. You know, he created the whole sacred architecture, so he's got the plan. And knows how to shift and adjust things in the architecture to bring us to where we need to be. So, yeah.
Wow, it's very beautiful
how it all happens.
Yeah. Wow, thank you for your shares and insights and that deep wisdom that you've shared with us today. I know you're working on many programs, projects. Is there anything you want to share with the audience? You know, any upcoming projects that you're working on? And
yeah, absolutely.
And your free gift. I know you have a free gift for the audience as well.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, I invite everybody to visit my website, which is wearesacredplanet.com. And I'm sure that will be linked below. Just check it out and see what calls to you, because I have so many different things that I'm working on or I've been working on over the years. If you go to my online courses page, there are quite a large number of free or donation-based online courses that you can enjoy. And that's always a great way to get a first sample of my work and, you know, see if it resonates. And also from my site, you'll find my upcoming tour to Egypt with Patricia Aoyan. Our next tour is going to be at the end of January to the beginning of February 2024. And will be very magical. And we're also planning a tour. This is brand new, hot off the press information. We're planning a tour to Turkey, and to go to Göbekli Tepe and Karahan Tepe and other really, really ancient sites in May 2024. And that will be very important. It's just so important in connection to Egypt. So we're really wanting to take people to both of those places and closely study both of those. New discoveries are being made in Turkey all the time. Farmers are just, you know, going out to plow their field and finding a giant stone. And when they start digging, it's a whole complex, you know, a whole sacred site. Mm-hmm. It's happening a lot. So fascinating what's happening in Turkey. So anyway, go check out my website, see what calls to you, and I hope you will enjoy. And yes, my free gift is a free video workshop that is designed to really connect you in with some of the Neteru, or the gods and goddesses of ancient Egypt, and to awaken your connection with ancient Egypt and take a shamanic journey to find out perhaps what past life might you have had in Egypt and to learn more about your connection with that place. So that's all completely free. So I hope that you'll go and enjoy that as well. It's very fun and very beautiful, and lots of Egyptian imagery in that video workshop as well.
Wow, beautiful. So yeah, for everyone's information, the free gift is available just below the interview here. So please go ahead, check it out, and check out all the amazing work Jocelyn's doing. Check out her website and the courses. I've done several courses with Jocelyn, and they're just amazing. Especially on the one on Egypt, it's just sort of very profound and really, it opens your mind, your heart. It's just beautiful, beautiful courses.
Oh,
And
thank you.
thank you for all that you do, Jocelyn, all that you're creating and the tours. I'm on the Egypt trip in
Yay.
2024.
I know.
So,
I can't wait to see you in person there. Yes.
So for everyone, if you want to go on the Egyptian tour or the Turkey tour, please check out Jocelyn's website. Yeah, I'm sure you'll have a magical, profound experience. So Jocelyn, I just want to thank you again very much for being here today in this sacred space and sharing all this wisdom and knowledge with us. Thank you so much, Jocelyn.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you, Ami. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here with you. And thank you again for all that you're creating.
It's a pleasure, Jocelyn. So everyone, I hope you really enjoyed this session as much as I did. And I wish you a beautiful, magical day. Thank you. Goodbye.